This is Basketball Central on Sportsnet 650 with Marcus Fitzgerald.
Tuesday Night Basketball Central, Marcus Fitzgerald with you on Sportsnet 650, doing this show from home in Port Coquitlam as we have been since the beginning of July. But my name is Marcus Fitzgerald. You can catch me on Twitter at Marcus Fitzy. DMs are open. You want to talk hoops? You want to talk anything else? I am here. Let's go. Let's get after it. Interesting times in the world, interesting times in the NBA. TNT's Jared Greenberg is going to join us in a little bit to bring us the latest developments. So much is going on. You know the drill by now. You guys know the drill. We taped this on Tuesday afternoon. COVID-19 is still very prevalent, obviously, in our world. It's obviously extended to sports. It's extended to the NBA, especially now that they are no longer in a bubble. There is, in fact, news coming down today from Adrian Wojnarowski that the NBA is tightening up protocols for the next couple of weeks, eliminating really all pregame, postgame interactions, no hugging, no handshakes, that kind of thing, even though these guys are going out there every night and guarding each other closely for 48 minutes or 2.5 hours of real time. Things have gotten very complicated over the last little bit, so looking forward to chatting with Jared Greenberg coming up in a little bit. Duncan Smith of HoopsHabit.com. Coming up as well, he has a new piece out on FanSided about how Bradley Beal should be the new James Harden in terms of, you know, the star that contenders should be interested in. So we'll talk to Duncan about that, and I'm sure we'll get back to all the issues that the NBA is dealing with right now with COVID-19. As we're taping this on a Tuesday afternoon, the Boston Celtics-Orlando Magic game for Wednesday has been postponed. This now marks three straight games for the Celtics that have been postponed due to contact tracing. Jason Tatum testing positive for COVID-19, and the Celtics simply haven't been able to field a healthy team. And when you factor contact tracing in there, it's not just the Celtics that have been affected, the Washington Wizards as well, with a couple of positive COVID-19 tests. Other games have been postponed. The Dallas Mavericks, there were reports yesterday that at least four players have tested positive. That news even feels like it happened about 50 years ago. That's how fast everything is moving in the NBA as the league tries to navigate its way through without a bubble this time. And what did we talk about on this show leading up to the regular season? You know, knowing that the bubble wouldn't be there to save them. The bubble wouldn't be there to bail them out. The NBA went into this season essentially saying, look, we know this is going to happen. We know we're going to have situations where teams will get positive tests and players will have to quarantine. Stars are quarantining, right? Big names. The league doesn't want that either. Jason Tatum has to quarantine. Kevin Durant had to go quarantine. It affects everyone. It gets to everybody. And we're really starting to see it now in the NBA in the last week and a bit. And you have to wonder, at what point, what does it take for the NBA to say, okay, we have to stop saying that this is inevitable and we have to completely reevaluate. And maybe the news that is just coming out this afternoon as we're taping this, that they're ramping up protocols a little tighter for the next couple of weeks, maybe that's the next step. We know the NBA doesn't want to stop. We know the NBA doesn't want to shut down because we're fully aware of the money that gets left on the table. It's an $8 to $10 billion a year industry. The whole reason they started on December the 22nd is because they stood to lose something like $500 million in revenue. Right? We know they don't want to stop. And this is interesting given that the NHL season starts tomorrow. This could happen in hockey as well. We've already seen it in the NHL, in fact. The Dallas Stars had their season opener pushed back 6 days. It's here. It's non-bubble time, and it's not necessarily a good start. And I don't know if there's an end in sight to this. It's only going to get worse. The NBA released the schedule in two chunks because they wanted to factor in that there would be games that needed to be rescheduled. And now they're in the thick of it. Because what is this now? Five games in the last few days that have had to be moved? You had the Celtics on Sunday. The Mavericks-Pelicans game last night was also postponed. There's been a couple of others, but now you're in a situation where the Celtics have missed three games. They've had three games postponed. And the poor Philadelphia 76ers have had to play two or three games with like seven healthy bodies. Meanwhile, the Sixers are out here still playing games. How's that fair? I suppose life isn't fair because that's what you're told, but how's that fair? How does that work? At what point? At what point does the NBA say, hey, we really need to stop, even if it's just for a couple of weeks, just to reevaluate, but then you lose a ton of money as well? Joining me right now on Basketball Central for the first time, you can find him in the NBA on TNT. You can also find him on NBA TV. He is Jared Greenberg. I am thrilled to have him here. Joining me via Zoom from Atlanta. Jared, thanks so much for doing this. How are things in Atlanta, Georgia these days?
Things are pretty good, Marcus. Appreciate you having me on. Excited to be talking about basketball. Hopefully we get through what looks like a pretty brutal stretch here of games being canceled. And, you know, after Christmas and the New Year celebration, it looks like people didn't do the right thing.
No, that's certainly the case. And I mean, and the news of the day here is, and it just came down a few minutes ago, Adrian Woj saying that the NBA for at least the next 2 weeks here, Jared, they're going to tighten protocols. Sounds like an optical thing to me. At what point, though, does the NBA say, hey, we got to step back, we got to reevaluate this? Because obviously they want to keep plowing forward, but at what point do they just kind of stop and shut down for a couple weeks here? Because it seems like that's around the corner, but they're not there yet.
Yeah, I don't think we're there yet, but I also never thought back on March 11th we would shut down the season for about 4 months. So, I don't know what it's going to take, what the threshold is to get us there. But I could tell you, you know, for the fourth straight day, we're going to have a game postponed. Wednesday night's Boston game is postponed. I would imagine that, you know, we're going to hear that there could be another game postponed on Thursday as well. So that would give us five straight days of having at least one game each day postponed. I agree with you with the optics standpoint. You know, it's kind of tough to say that shaking hands after playing on the court with one another is really going to be the difference maker here, or not shaking hands or whatever it may be. But a lot of the accountability, listen, has to be on the players. This is their job. If they want to continue to keep playing, continue to make money, they've got to put themselves in a situation, and it sucks, you know, just like all of us have been living through, you know, since last winter. You can't go out to bars, can't go out to nightclubs. When you do go out to restaurants, you got to be incredibly careful of who you're with, what the environment is. There's a lot of accountability on a lot of people to make this thing work. There's a reason why the bubble worked in that environment where we had no positive cases. It's because people took the protocol seriously and there was no leniency.
Well, and that's a good point. I mean, you talk about guys just needing to do their jobs. And unfortunately, this is part of the job, but it's also part of the job for us as we live our day-to-day lives. I mean, we're in a situation now where you've got teams who are playing games with maybe eight healthy bodies. The Sixers have actually had to play despite having seven. Doc Rivers didn't want to play Mike Scott the other day. Is this, the NBA saying to the teams, especially the Sixers over the last few days, hey, life isn't fair. You just got to show up and play and continue to do your jobs.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if there are eight available players, a team's going to play. It doesn't matter who those eight guys are, you know. And many of us had wondered and speculated, you know, would that be based on star treatment, right? If team X and, you know, YZ stars aren't available, are they going to say, all right, well, we don't want to play this game because this team doesn't have that player? Well, no. I mean, look, Philadelphia didn't play without a lot of its stars. Now, some of those were injury related, not necessarily COVID protocol related. But on Sunday, the Boston Celtics were going to play a game without Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They were not going to have nine guys, and the Celtics were going to have eight available players. The reason why that game got postponed was because Miami wouldn't have had the requirement of the required eight players available to play. So, it's a tough situation, and I hate to, like, you know, proclaim like we know all, because as we're learning in this time since March, right? Yeah, it's really minute by minute we learn new pieces of information. Rules have to be changed and adjusted, and you got to adapt to the environment.
Well, and it's such an amazing thing because, I mean, the other day you had Bradley Beal dapping up Jason Tatum, and I'm reading that, you know, the CDC has their guidelines, but the NBA didn't factor in, you know, playing a 48-minute game. I mean, like, I almost feel like even as I'm talking to you and even as I'm doing this show every week, like, what are we doing here? Right? Like, what are we doing here? Like, at what point does it stop? And I really worry about that because I get the money, Jared. I get it. And I get that, you know, the league wants to play, but like,
that's a big part of it.
Yeah. You know, it's just one of those things right now. And we're just kind of stuck in the middle of it. Now, when you talk to players and people within organizations, like, is there a chaos meter right now within these teams? Like, how worried are these guys on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I mean, I think just like the regular human population, there's a mix. I think there's people who don't have a care in the world. I think there are people who are completely paranoid every second of every moment. And then I think, you know, a lot of us live kind of in the middle somewhere where, you know, we're acutely aware of what's going on, and we have trained ourselves to behave a certain way, to always wear a mask, to do our best to socially distance. You know, I got a message from a team executive the other day saying, you know, players have to do a better job of making sure that they're available for these games by doing the right thing when they're off the court. And listen, it's really hard if you were, you know, around your family, and, you know, you got to know who your family's around, right? Like, nobody's saying this is easy. And the bottom line is, you know, you said it sucks that it's about money, but it is about money,
it
right?
Is, yes.
And it's everybody affected, you know, even selfishly me, right? Like, my job depends on, I get paid only when there's basketball, right? Like, my company's not going to continue to pay me if we don't have basketball to cover and to make revenue off of. And the same goes for the players, right? Like, if they want to continue making this their living, they got to make sure that the game continues on.
Jared Greenberg of the NBA on TNT and NBA TV joining us on Basketball Central. You mentioned family, Jared. Kyrie Irving under investigation now. Videos came up. He was at a family birthday, but he was maskless. The whole Kyrie thing, he's going back to the flat earth Illuminati side now. Are you tired of Kyrie? Because I feel like I've got some Kyrie fatigue. It just never seems to end with this guy.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of drama surrounding Kyrie. And we all want to be careful with this particular incident because we don't know all the facts.
Yeah.
And we hope everything's okay, whether it's something going on with his family, whether it's something going on with him, whether it's his health or his mental health or whatever it may be. I hope he's okay. But that still does not excuse some of the behavior we've seen from Kyrie over the last week, which is nowhere in North America can you not show up for work, not inform your boss of why, and just inform them at all with a reason. Can you keep your job? Except for in this situation, I don't understand. And again, maybe it has a lot to do with the particulars of what's going on, and maybe some of that will come out in the coming days here. But, like, man, you know, a stat just came out of how many games he's actually played with the Nets, you know, in his, you know, now almost 2-year career with the Nets. It's ridiculous, you know, and the guy, even when he does play, he's injury prone. You know, he gets hurt at the worst times. It happened with Boston. It happened with the Cavaliers. That happened at Duke. It happened when I covered him in high school in New Jersey. He gets hurt a lot, and that's a totally separate, you know, issue with this. But it just, you know, people want to talk about how great Kyrie is, and he certainly is. But in order to be a great basketball player, you're going to be on the court for whatever reason. This is his job, and I don't understand the statement that he's making by being completely silent with everyone and treating everyone like, you know, he lives in his own little bubble and only he matters.
Well, and the thing with Adam Silver too, Jared, we know he's very pro player. Does Adam Silver need to come out and publicly state that, you know, the players have to uphold their end of the bargain, but also kind of say it in a nice way? Because Adam's very pro player, but if the players are out getting into trouble, at what point does he have to step up and maybe say something?
Yeah, well, I guess it's a new little twist and wrinkle to this story now that there's this video reportedly of Kyrie over the last couple of days being at a big birthday party with a lot of people not wearing a mask, which clearly violates the NBA's health and safety protocols. But I would say before we hear from Adam Silver, I think we need to hear from the Nets. We're hearing Steve Nash be put in front of the media before and after each Net game, which tonight will be the fourth game that he has missed. But we've not heard from Sean Marks. We've not heard from the owner of the Nets, Joseph Tsai. I'd like to hear from these people before I even hear from Adam Silver, because this is a team issue first. This is negatively impacting the Nets the most and their fans. That's number one. And then, yeah, I mean, if indeed he is, you know, quote unquote, on a break from basketball, hopefully there's nothing more serious than that. He's still receiving paychecks to our knowledge. And if he is then proven to be out violating the health and safety protocols, then yes, the league needs to step in and say something. And there is a possibility he will miss several game checks.
We know that the NBA doesn't want to go back to a bubble. Jarrett, I'm not sure you would want to go back to a bubble. I know you were in Orlando. I'll ask you about that in a second, but do you think the NBA, if they power through the first few months here, if they get to a certain point, would they just turn around and say, okay, now we can go to the bubble? What do you guys think? Or would that be far too difficult?
Yeah, I don't see the bubble working again. Maybe a different variety of what the bubble was could work. But I just don't know that you can get these players to commit to being not just away, but isolated on lockdown, essentially for any length of time, because you got to remember a big part of the reason why the NBA bubble worked was not just the fact that they had people isolated on this little island for, you know, up to 3 months, but it was also getting them there early enough where there were positive tests before teams got to the bubble from a lot of players. But what they did was they had teams kind of pre-isolate, if you will, before they went to the bubble in their home market. Mm-hmm. And that's when they identified a lot of positive cases with players and personnel around the teams. So by the time they got to Orlando and the players and teams did their quarantine in Orlando, all of that had been flushed out. And I mean, there was always a high alert of where it could be coming in from, but that's a big part of why, and I hope that makes sense of what I'm explaining here.
Yeah.
Is that's went a long way to not having it. You can't just go into a bubble and start playing basketball, right? You have to like lead up to it. And that's what I think helped make this thing so successful over the summer. So now you're talking about if you're going into a bubble, you got to, you know, kind of ramp up to that for 2 weeks, then have a quarantine period in the bubble and then get going. So that's about a 3-week effort. I just don't know how you pull that off again. But again, I never thought we could do it the first time. I was incredibly skeptical and pessimistic about it working to begin with. So the fact that it did happen, maybe it could happen again. I just don't see players agreeing to it. I also just think it's too cost prohibitive. As much as the NBA did the bubble to make a lot of money, it cost them way more money than I think anybody anticipated. It was incredibly huge, massive undertaking, and I just don't see it happening again.
Well, LeBron James did the road tripping thing live on TV, and they asked him, how many days you do in the bubble, LeBron? He said, hey, 95 days, 95 nights. How long were you there? Do you have fond memories at all, or is it something you'd rather forget? I'm very curious.
I was in the bubble for 82 days, and you know, it's not something that I would want to do again, but I'm really glad that I got to take part of it. It was history. Anybody who works in this business would want to be a part of something like that, to be one of just the handful of reporters that was allowed into that tier one access. It was amazing. You know, to be walking around and see LeBron riding his bike, or Bol Bol riding his bike, or Taco Fall riding his bike, you know, pretty cool stuff. But listen, it wasn't horrible by any stretch of the imagination. They took great care of us while we were there, and we felt incredibly safe. The daily testing was unbelievable. The protocols that were put in place were unbelievable. But, you know, I don't think many people would like to sign up to be away for 82 days, almost 3 months, you know, eating the same meals every day, and most importantly, being away from your friends and your family. Not that you could really see your friends anyway. You know, I'm kind of just locked down in my condo here in Atlanta, except for when I go into the studio. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm glad I did it. I'm not so sure I'd want to do it again.
And as you were leaving, and as I'm sure as others were leaving the bubble, I'm sure they thought, well, thank God we never have to do that again. You know what I mean? And now it's like, well, maybe we might have to. Like, does that, like, I think that would linger in the league. Now, like you said, they probably won't do it, but I would imagine it still lingers just a bit.
Well, it's funny. It was funny, Marcus. You know, when we were in the bubble, we kept on saying, as time went on and we were realizing in real time that this thing was going to work, right? Because the first week or two that we were there, there was still a lot of trepidation and people saying, okay, well, when is this going to blow up in our face? When are we going to be sent home? Mm-hmm. But once we got, you know, a month or so in and we realized this thing was rolling and it was going to work, what we kept on saying to each other, and I know I said this to a lot of people, is, okay, so it's really cool that we're going to be able to finish this unprecedented season in this unique fashion. But how do we think in 3, 4, 5 months from now, the outside world, outside of our bubble here, is actually going to be in that good of shape that we're going to be able to play basketball in arenas, you know, and forget about having fans like that. We knew that wasn't going to happen. But, you know, a big part of it is the NBA wanted to position itself to be ready to have fans whenever that was, you know, feasible. But geez, you know, you're right. We never wanted to do it again, but craziness, just absolutely craziness.
Jared, it's been a long week in America. I think that's an understatement. I wanna end on something light, though. You work at Turner. The other day on Inside, Charles said, Jared Greenberg, half man, half makeup. Now, that's the first time I've heard that. I'm just curious if you have any good stories about Charles, because I'm sure they ask you about Charles every damn day of your life, but I'm wondering if you've got any good stories about Chuck.
Well, it's the best place in the world to work. That's first of all. I've never worked at a place where I get so excited to go into work every day or to be on the road when I used to be on the road with those guys. I have a lot of stories about Charles, about 99% of them. I'm not allowed to share on the radio.
I didn't think so.
but no, he's been calling me half man, half makeup for a couple of years now. He loves that. I think he's just envious of the looks. He tries anytime he's in the studio or on the road with me, he tries to mess with my hair. He always tries to mess up my hair because I think he's envious that he doesn't have any hair.
Sure.
But he is one of the nicest salt of the earth human beings ever. You know, he takes care of everybody that's around him, and he's the consummate teammate, and he's our leader. You know, he is our leader at Turner Sports. So we kind of fall in line behind his lead.
Jared, thanks so much for doing this. Stay safe, and I hope we can do this again soon.
Marcus, you got it, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I hope we get basketball back in Vancouver.
All right, there he is, Jared Greenberg, NBA on TNT, NBA TV as well, joining us via Zoom from Atlanta, Georgia, his condo in Atlanta, Georgia. And yes, another one that wants to see the NBA back in Vancouver one day. We can certainly support that. Great stuff with Jared. Again, if you want to hear this again, you can check us out on the website, sportsnet.ca/650, the Basketball Central tab. Anything you missed over the last little bit, you can double back and find it. We've got it for you. More ahead, including talk about James Harden, Bradley Beal, and more on the evolving situation with the NBA and COVID-19 as the troubles continue. You've got it on the home of the Canucks. This is Sportsnet 650.
Basketball Central continues on Sportsnet 650 with your host, Marcus Fitzgerald.
I feel like I was just on another planet.
Welcome back, Basketball Central Tuesday night. Marcus Fitzgerald with you. My thanks again to Jared Greenberg of TNT and NBA TV for joining us in the opening segment. If you missed that, you can check us out online, sportsnet.ca/650, the Basketball Central page. A lot of good stuff with Jared as far as where the NBA is at right now with COVID-19 and how they're trying to handle things, playing without a bubble this season. You've got teams traveling all over the place, playing multiple games in a week. This isn't quite the National Football League. You've already got a situation where the Boston Celtics are missing a third straight game. Tomorrow's game between Boston and Orlando has been postponed. This is after the Celtics had a game on the weekend postponed with the Miami Heat. They had another one pushed back yesterday as well. So the issues continue for the NBA, and you wonder just how long they're going to keep this up. There's a report as we were taping this on a Tuesday afternoon that the NBA is going to ramp up protocols at least for a couple of weeks. That includes basically no unnecessary contact on the court, no high fives, no dapping anybody up, no hugs. Now, you see that and you think, well, what difference is that actually going to make? I mean, these guys are still guarding each other tightly for 48 minutes a night. Although, depending on, you know, some teams in the NBA, they don't play defense at all. So, you know, you can make those jokes too. But either way, the NBA is in a situation right now where they want to plow through. There's no doubt about that. They need to make their money. They need to make their revenues. And I'm sure the players want to play too. The players want to get paid, just like we all want to keep going to our jobs, making our money, keeping our roof over our head. I can understand it from that standpoint, but at what point? At what point does the NBA say, okay, enough is enough? I mean, they can ramp up protocols for a couple of weeks here, but the fact is they're not in the bubble. You've got teams traveling. You've got guys that do go out. Sometimes guys get caught, like Kyrie Irving. That was another big story today, video surfacing on social media. Kyrie, who's been away from the Brooklyn Nets, by the way. He was slated to miss his fourth game tonight against Denver. He was away for personal reasons. And you know, like Jared Greenberg said, you hope that Kyrie's okay. You just hope that he's all right. And I'm with them on that. But when stuff like that starts to pop up, then you start to wonder and you start to lose a little bit of sympathy there because, you know, I'm doing this show from home. I've been doing this show from home in Port Coquitlam. We have obligations professionally, yes, but we also have obligations to those around us and to keep ourselves safe, our family safe, and others as well. It's important that we do our best to protect others and keep other people safe. And the NBA, no doubt, is asking its players and its staff to do that to the best of their capabilities. And it's certainly frustrating when you have a situation where Kyrie Irving's popping up on social media at a family birthday, it seems, maskless for that matter, when he's taken a personal leave of absence. So it's too bad that it's gone from, well, I hope Kyrie's okay. And I still think, you know, or hope that he is, but now you've got a situation where, okay, Kyrie might be a little reckless with the rules here, kind of like what we saw with James Harden a few weeks back. And you just hope the NBA, A, can plow through, and hopefully they can do this successfully, because I like sitting here talking about basketball with you. That's something that, you know, Jared Greenberg said in the first segment. It's like, I love working. I love talking about basketball. If there's no basketball, I don't get paid. It's like anybody else in the world right now. There's jobs that have been lost. And there's a lot of people connected to the NBA one way or another that would lose out if the league is unable to hold these games and hold them in a safe way. And even in talking about all this, the NHL season starts tomorrow. The Dallas Stars have the first week of their season postponed because of six positive COVID-19 tests. The Vancouver Canucks had a bit of a scare over the weekend as well, where they had to cancel a practice day, but they got back to it. On Monday, there was a false positive test connected to the organization. This stuff is going to happen. It just is. But you wonder at what point, as we continue to learn more and more about this and about our new normal. Obviously, it's been a long time since the middle of March. We know a lot more now than we did then. But you just hope that the NBA is going about this the right way. And obviously, this is an optical thing. It's all for optics. I mean, they can crack down for a couple of weeks, but we're going to be right back here in a couple of weeks. It's just like the health orders right now in BC. It's like, all right, you can't go see your family, and we'll reevaluate that in a few weeks. Guess what? We're still under that right now. Can't go do that until the after the first week of February. So the NBA is going to find itself in a situation like that as well. They can say they're going to crack down for a couple of weeks, but guess what? It's just going to continue. And you have to wonder when they decide to fully stop and take a look, even though that's something they definitely don't want to do. Joining me right now on Basketball Central, you can find him at hoopshabit.com, fan-sided, talks a lot about the Detroit Pistons, and as I have just learned, I was today years old when I found out that Duncan Smith is originally Canadian. Joining me from Detroit via Zoom right now, Duncan, thanks so much for doing this. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Marcus. Happy to be on. As we were mentioning off-air, this is the first time I've been on Canadian radio, in spite of the fact that born, bred, grew up in Canada. This is my first time on the Canadian airwaves.
First time for everything, man. First time for everything. I know that the NBA is going through what seems like a lot of first-time things. The news of the day, the protocols, Duncan, are tightening. There's going to be something called cool-down chairs that I just found out about 90 seconds ago as we tape this on a Tuesday afternoon. This is all for optics, isn't it? I mean, what's the difference between no hugs and playing against another team for 2.5 hours.
It sure seems like it's all optics. Some of what we've learned about the goes into the magic mix of NBA decision-making has been kind of concerning. And, you kind of wonder how much science is actually involved in this. Things like playing a game where sweat and obviously breath and all sorts of things like that are exchanged on the court is fine, but a brief conversation after the game between Jason Tatum and I think Bradley Beal is not. And then I think Beal required 36 hours of quarantine due to the league's health and safety protocols. It seems as though a lot of these decisions and judgments on the league's part are pretty haphazard and barely better than random. And I don't know if you read or aware of the Athletic's piece yesterday that really kind of outlines where a lot of these decisions are coming from. And the NBA has decided to run with the whole within 6 feet for,
yes, I saw that. Yeah.
15 minutes or longer. Yeah. And it, I think that has largely been sort of disproven by science since these specific numbers came out earlier in the pandemic. So, I get that the NBA is trying to keep a product on the court, but don't try and fool your public. It's not going to last for long. And that seems is kind of what they're doing. Some players are wearing masks when they're on the bench, some aren't. Coaches have their masks under their nose or under their chins, and they're getting called out. C.J. McCollum, I forget which coach it was, but C.J. McCollum called out one of the coaches, I think it was Luke Walton.
It was.
Who had his mask improperly worn. I get that the NBA is at least trying to make it look like they're trying, but it does have kind of an element that seems like a farce to it right now.
Well, right before I signed on here with you, I literally had an image in my head of, an NBA game featuring 10 players wearing those big novelty bubbles that people wear, and you can just slam into people on a field. I feel like if they're not careful, we're probably a month away from that. Just how things are going, because, you can tighten the protocols, Duncan, for 2 weeks, but guess what? They're going to keep the protocols just as tight 2 weeks from now. I'm going to tell you a quick aside here. I went mattress shopping on the weekend. They had to give us this little mesh sheet that you could put on top of the mattress to test the mattress out, right? It's all for optics. It's not going to protect anything. This is where the NBA is at right now. And I wonder, Duncan, what it's going to take for the NBA to say, hey, look, we have to literally shut this down for 2 or 3 weeks just to completely reevaluate. Because what we've looked at, those CDC numbers that you mentioned in that Athletic piece, clearly that's not working. I feel like the NBA is not that far away from doing something like that, because otherwise they're just spinning on the old hamster wheel here.
Yeah. I think that things are going to probably evolve pretty quickly as well as more positive cases come in. Right around this time yesterday, I was on a show and we were talking about how a lot of these players being ruled out for games was due to contact tracing, not an actual outbreak. There wasn't at that point a team that had a lot of guys out with COVID. It was just rigorous contact tracing. And I was thinking, all right, so maybe there is a silver lining. Maybe it is just that the NBA is being too cautious, if anything. And then an hour after we hit save on that recording. I think the Mavs released that they had four players out with COVID. So, I mean, a team with like 15 active players and a quarter of that roster is now out with COVID. We can call that an outbreak, you know? And that's yesterday. Like, what's ahead today? Like, the Washington Wizards are one of the strangest things in this whole experience right now, where every team that goes, like, not just like to Washington to play, but like that plays the Wizards, they end up getting like nailed with contact tracing, but no Wizards are testing positive. That is very strange to me. I kind of half jokingly yesterday tweeted, like, are all the teams getting the same tests? Did like the Wizards get like broken tests? Did the Wizards not get trained on how to use the tests? Like, you know, in 2021, it would not be one of the strangest stories if the Wizards just didn't know how to use the tests and they had an outbreak that nobody knew about. Like, it's so strange right now. And you got to wonder, like, how uniform, like, among all the teams, like, regulations are being followed. And it's a lot of players and a lot of teams to sort of keep track of right now. I don't know if the NBA is really up for it.
Duncan Smith joining us from HoopsHabit.com. That is a decent enough segue, Duncan. I'll take it. You've got a piece up that centers around the Washington Wizards, at least from an on-the-court standpoint. And on the court last night, Bradley Beal had 34 points in a win over a good Phoenix Suns team. He's currently leading the NBA in scoring, and your argument is essentially, why trade for James Harden when you can get the non-strip club version of James Harden in Bradley Beal? I read the piece. I thought it made a lot of sense. What has the reaction been like since that was posted? Because I imagine the Harden stands are still out there.
Well, the Harden stands are still out there. You know, I think that they're a little bit less fervent now. You know, they're not going to work quite as hard now as they would have, say, a month ago, because, you know, if you draw a line in the sand that you are going to ride for James Harden, you are going to at some point probably get embarrassed to some degree. I myself am a Harden stan, so this is okay. How I know that, like, you will get embarrassed if you ride too hard for James Harden. There's a lot of baggage, and he's, I think, like, worth a lot of that baggage, and I think that there's even worse baggage to have in the NBA and in professional sports. You know, it's not that he's like some awful guy or anything like that. There's just like baggage that make, especially during a pandemic, make it hard to have him like be your guy. And a lot of those issues that come with Harden don't come with Bradley Beal. You know, Beal is younger. He is a whole lot cheaper, you know, relatively speaking on the whole NBA hierarchy of salaries. You don't have him potentially like jet setting off to, you know, strip clubs and friends parties where they're becoming a boss and things like that. you know, there's just a lot less subtext that you got to worry about with Bradley Beal. And also, like, he's a guy who can play well with the ball, who can play well off the ball. He has, well, you know, James Harden is clearly a better player. Bradley Beal just brings a whole different dynamic that if you are looking for like the finishing touch to make your team like go from good to great, Bradley Beal might be the guy rather than James Harden, who you kind of have to like wrap everything around in order to really maximize his skills. Bradley Beal can sort of do it all on offense. So he's like a light James Harden in a lot of ways, I think. And probably in the trade market, he'd probably be viewed that way as well.
Well, that was my next point, Duncan, is like, you know, we assume that if you trade for James Harden and you're already a contender like a Brooklyn or Philadelphia, oh, if you trade for James Harden, you can be a championship contender. If a team like, say, Brooklyn or Miami, because I think Miami would be in there for Bradley Beal, trades for Bradley Beal, does that make you a bona fide championship contender? Or is it because we haven't seen Bradley Beal on the playoff stage all that much? Does it just make you a decent treadmill playoff team? Is there a difference there?
Well, there's a difference. I think that part of what would separate a team that can really contend from a team that can't is the package that goes out. You know, like if you have to pay a king's ransom and you don't have a whole lot left over, you probably don't become a championship team. And if, for that matter, if you do have to pay a king's ransom to get a guy like James Harden, is probably the one that can get you further of the two. But you know, the teams that are trying to sort of finish off their championship level package are probably going to be able to like maintain some of that that elite core that makes them that. Otherwise, like, what's the point, you know? So, yeah, you know, I think that if we look at the way that they're valued, I think that there's a pretty heavy consideration in that you can kind of get more for less if you make that Beal trade instead.
Do you think we've cooled on Harden a bit just because the market for him is so comically small? Because it's basically the Sixers if Daryl Morey wants to trade Ben Simmons and a few picks, and maybe Brooklyn if it's like a disaster down there. That's pretty much it. It's a very small pool, and I feel like because of that, it's like, well, you know what, they'll get around to James Harden when they can do it, kind of thing.
Kind of. You know, it's probably something that if it was to happen, would happen closer to the trade deadline. You still have deadlines, or you still have issues right now where like free agents that were signed this past offseason can't be traded yet. And you would want to have like the whole pool of players available, I think, for any kind of deal. And that, I forget exactly like what the date is for that this season, because like everything is just so convoluted date wise. But you know, obviously near the trade deadline, everybody will be tradable, technically speaking. So I think that because like nothing happened in the off season, it's probably going to be like later on, unless you've got a team like, you didn't mention Toronto, which is kind of like my personal favorite for a Harden trade, just because like things are so grim there right now. And you know, the Raptors are a team that has done it before with Kawhi. Where they just throw all the eggs into one basket and say, all right, we're gonna ride with this guy, and if he can do it, great. If not, a couple years down the road, we'll just hit the reset button with all the salary that comes off of the books. So there is a small pool, certainly. And I think that because of Beal's contract, like maybe the pool is a little bit like slightly wider, because you know there are only so many teams that can really make a push for a championship, and if you can't do that, like what's the point?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that the pool is small and cool right now, but it might get a little bigger and a little bit hotter towards the trade deadline.
I'll let you out on this one, Duncan. 2 days in a row, 2 nights in a row, Pascal Siakam has had a chance to win at the Horn and come up short. Last night, actually, I'll admit this, like he gets the triple-double against the Blazers. I had no idea that was his first career triple-double. And Pascal already has his big, fat second contract. So that was news to me, first of all. This Raptor team, they looked pretty good on the floor last night, as long as they didn't have Baines or Len in the game. They're 2-8. Are they going to turn it around? I mean, we can assume that they will, but we're starting to run out of time here because we're already, I guess, a seventh of the way through the season.
I would bet on them figuring it out and turning things around. You know, you've still got the bones of a championship team in there, you know, with Siakam and Lowry and Fred VanVleet and Nick Nurse. You know, I think that of all the teams that have experienced, like, I mean, we could probably call it basically trauma for the Raptors, you know, like,
yeah.
They're I don't know if everybody has like moved their families to Florida or if they're keeping them all in Toronto or what the deal is, but like, aside from just trying to play basketball at a high level, they've got to think about things like, should I move my kids from Canada, where it's, you know, probably safer than a lot of places in North America right now, to Florida. If I don't do that, you know, now I'm separated from my family for the foreseeable future. You know, I don't know if all these guys have like permanent for the season homes at this point, you know, like who's living at a hotels right now. You know, I think that there's just so much real life chaos that kind of like seeps into like their day to day and their game to game environments that it's gotta be really, really challenging for these guys to like kind of keep their heads in the game. And, you know, I think that as time goes on and they sort of like figure out how they're going to like handle real life for the next 5-6 months or however long, it's probably going to get easier for them. They're probably going to figure some things out. And at a certain point, some of the bad teams in the NBA are going to sort of coalesce into bad teams, and the good teams are going to return to like where they should be. And I really think that that's going to be the Raptors. I think that, you know, While big exciting moves like a James Harden trade would be fun and everything, I do think that like this Raptors team in itself is going to be able to right the ship and get back into the playoffs. And, you know, maybe they're not going to get a good seed and maybe they're going to get like walloped by the Boston Celtics in the first round or something like that. But I think they're going to pull it together and make a run at the very least to get in the playoffs and level up a couple spots at the very least.
Duncan, thanks so much for doing this. Stay safe down there and we'll do it again soon.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
All right. That's Duncan Smith, hoopshabit.com, a new piece up on Bradley Beal and how he's the new James Harden, but in a good way. Can score like James Harden, but doesn't have the baggage of a James Harden, so it would seem, although it's a bit of a mess right now with the Washington Wizards, couple of positive COVID-19 tests, games where teams have faced the Wizards, and then you find out a few days later that, oh, by the way, there's some positive tests and players need to quarantine. Duncan making some interesting points there. Maybe the Wizards just don't know how to use the testing equipment. Who knows? But it is a bit of a mess in Washington, at least from that standpoint. It hasn't gotten off to a good start as well on the court with Russell Westbrook or Bradley Beal together. Russ is out for another week. He's got a quad injury right now. Bradley Beal is the shining light in that organization. Had a big night last night, beat a good Phoenix Suns team, scored 34 points. He's averaging 35 points a game. That's something you'd absolutely want in your lineup if you are a contender, if you're a team like the Miami Heat. I mean, we were kind of talking about it before Giannis Antetokounmpo signed his extension in Milwaukee. Maybe the Heat would offer a package kind of centered around Tyler Hero for Giannis. Well, maybe the Bucks don't do a deal like that, but maybe Washington does a deal where, okay, we'll take a package of players, including Tyler Hero, for somebody like Bradley Beal, who, you know, we haven't really seen him enough on the big stage to really know for sure if he's like a guy that's going to tip the scales in terms of winning a championship. But I think a team like Miami, even the Raptors, and we talked about the Raptors with Duncan there in the last little bit. You know, you add Bradley Beal to Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, you've got something there. Maybe that's what the Raptors need. Certainly they need another creator. It's almost too much to ask some nights of Fred VanVleet to be that type of guy at that size. And I know that VanVleet has had some big offensive nights this season. He's had a couple of 30-point games. But you know, the Raptors are in need of a guy like Bradley Beal. Pascal Siakam has really come to light the last couple times out. Unfortunately, he's had a couple of shots bounce out as well. That's the way things go. But the Raptors also blew a big lead down the stretch in Portland last night. They've got other issues aside from just late-game execution. It's late-game execution in the last 5 or 6 minutes of the game defensively. They're not the same defensive team they used to be. I don't know that Bradley Beal changes that, but he would certainly add another creator to that offensive lineup, because I think Nick Nurse kind of figured something out last night with that lineup. Chris Boucher was the lone big. You didn't see Aaron Baines or Alex Len on the floor, but you had Boucher out there with Lowry, VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, and OG Anunoby. It's very clear that those are the Raptors' four best players, so why wouldn't you put them out there? It's just a shame they haven't been able to really lock things in defensively like they have in Toronto the last couple of years. We're out of time. My thanks again to Duncan Smith. My thanks to TNT's Jared Greenberg. You can check us out on the website, sportsnet.ca/650, the Basketball Central tab. You can check out any shows that we've done over the past few weeks and months. A weird time in the NBA. Hopefully, the NBA will continue and be able to continue to plow through this. But again, minute by minute, day by day, we'll see how it rolls. You've got it on the home of the Canucks. I'm Marcus Fitzgerald. Take care. We'll do it again next week. This is Sportsnet 650.